Today on Vox Talks Economics, how can we reduce social isolation in our schools? Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week, we bring you the best new research in economics. Remember, subscribe and follow us on Instagram as well at Vox Talks Economics. Many of us look back on our school days with affection. We made friends, we had fun, we learned about life. But some of us have bad memories of school, and that's usually due to feeling left out or being bullied. How can teachers spot this social exclusion? And what can they do to make every child feel included? An intervention in primary schools in Italy has given teachers the information to help them recognise and deal with social exclusion. Did it help? Michaela Carlana of Harvard is one of the researchers who conducted the experiment, and she joins me now. Michaela, welcome to Vox Talks Economics.
Hello, team.
Tell me, what do we know about the emotional effects of children on this form of social isolation at school?
Social isolation at school can lead to very serious issues for children, including a low self-esteem, a diminished sense of belonging, chronic expectation of rejection that extend beyond the school environment, and even suicidal thoughts.
Gosh, and does it affect their educational performance as well? I would imagine it does.
It does. There is some research in medical and social psychology that indicates how social exclusion is associated with poor academic performance and, in general, unhealthy behavior, both of which can lead to negative impact on students' school performance, but also leading them to disengage from education that has deep implication for their learnings over time.
I'm going to ask you a naive question. Why don't teachers always see this, and why don't they always deal with it?
That's a very challenging question. It's not easy for teachers that have to deal with like large classroom to spot loneliness and social exclusion in schools. In order to get a sense of that, in our baseline, we ask teachers in a sample of schools whether they believe the children in their classroom were socially isolated. Thinking about social isolation as like someone being not nominated by anyone in their class at all as a friend. Almost all of them substantially underestimate the level of social exclusion in their class. So just to give you a sense, like the true average is close to 3 children that are socially isolated in every class. And 25% of teachers told us that none of the children in my class are socially isolated. And the rest, we have almost all of them that said like maybe 1 or 2. Less than 10% is actually acknowledging like their high level of social isolation in their class.
Does the behaviour of parents inspire children to be patient, to work hard, and to be able to save for the future? In February 2024, Daniela Del Bocca described another piece of research from Italy, this time on the impact of family life. Listen to the episode, Can Parents Teach Patience?
So those statistics are quite remarkable, and they come from this experiment, this intervention that you tried. What was the idea behind this intervention?
So the idea was actually very simple, and we thought that we really trust the teachers. They have the best knowledge of their children, but they may simply not be aware of such a high level of social isolation in their classroom. So we wanted to inspire them to tackle this issue more directly. And so this is why we wanted like to give them information on the actual level of social isolation in their own classroom.
And tell me about the schools that you chose to perform this experiment in.
So we implemented this study in 46 public primary schools in three regions in Italy, including more than 2,200 students and almost 240 teachers.
Now, first of all, then, you have to discover which children are isolated. How did you do that? What did you find when you tried to find that out?
So first of all, we had to collect baseline data, initial data, on the school isolation of the children. How did we do that? We actually asked the children themselves, who are their friends in their classroom. And from these like baseline data, we started to understand the level of social isolation that is present in this classroom. And on top of like the statistics that I gave you before, we have approximately 15% of children that are socially isolated, meaning that they are not nominated by anyone as their friend, or they were not nominated as a friend by any of their classmates. However, there is another aspect that I wanted to underline that emerged from our baseline data collection. Not only the high level of social isolation, but also the substantial heterogeneity. Among the immigrant children, students from an immigrant background, almost one in three were socially isolated. And the share of socially isolated kids is substantially higher for those kids that come from a lower socioeconomic background compared to those that come from a higher socioeconomic background. So this hides, like very early on in like grade two, already huge discrepancies that may affect the long-term outcomes, both in terms of like education, but also mental health and well-being of the children.
Do you know that the children were telling you the truth about this?
These are very young children. We started to collect data when they were in grade two. And when you ask them information about their friends, well, they may be lying, but we have like essentially the two directions. So we know who nominates you as friend and who you nominate as friend. Mm-hmm. And it's already relevant to know that essentially there are some kids that are not nominated by anyone as friends. So we don't just use the information reported directly by them, but also like the cross-check with the information reported by their friends.
So you have these, what can I call them, friendship maps, I suppose, of the classroom. How much of this information did you pass on to the teachers?
Our intervention included two key sets of information. The first one was a personalized record, including exactly this friendship map for each classroom. But on top of them, we try to help them interpret those maps, giving them statistics on social isolation among their students, and also how social isolation varied according to parental socioeconomic status and immigrant background. On top of that, we gave them some general information on the negative effect of social isolation and the importance of preventing it. We gave them information about neuroscientific evidence on the impact of social exclusion on the brain, highlighting that the persistent feeling of social exclusion can have lifelong effects and profound negative consequences on educational outcomes and individuals' life choices. Finally, we also encourage teachers to take proactive steps to prevent social isolation in their classroom. And we did that with like very simple tips. So these are often things that the teachers already do as part of their toolbox, but just like we increase their attention on aspect of interaction among kids and being careful about the social isolation components and children that may felt like left out from the interaction with others.
I see. So they've got all the data and you've primed them about how important it is to take note of this data. But it sounds like you're not telling the teachers to behave in a particular way, to do a specific thing. You're telling them to pay attention to this.
Exactly. So this is exactly true. And we are sort of like empowering them to take the best action for their specific setting, and also given their expertise, given what they feel comfortable with to tackle this issue.
Okay, so to measure whether or not this intervention is having an effect, How do you do that, and how long do you wait?
So we waited a few months. So ideally, we should have waited like in the very long term, because these are things right, that are hard to change. But what we did was first implementing the intervention in the autumn of 2021, and then collecting data on the first end line in the spring of 2022. We are going to follow in the future these kids potentially, so we may know the long-term impact on their educational outcomes later on. But for now, what we did was collect this first end line with like survey data with children in school in the spring 2022.
I see. And the information you're collecting, is it similar to the information that you had at the baseline?
Yes, most of the information, so for example, information on the social network is the same that we collected also in the baseline, but also we collected information on other dimensions. So we implemented some experimental games with children in the classroom in order to get their potential antisocial behavior. In particular, we did like a game in which they had the opportunity to sabotage others. So somehow to use their an endowment that we give them to cancel correct responses of like one of their friends. And we were interested in understanding whether this change in behavior that was implemented for the treatment had an impact on this, in particular, antisocial behavior. What we find is actually that the children in treated schools were 7 percentage points less likely to cancel their opponent's performance in this game, representing a 10% reduction relative to the control group. So this is one of the most impressive results, and it affected in particular the negative antisocial behavior, while with some other like donation games that we try to implement, we do not find affecting like more pro-social behavior, but they were just like more careful of not harming others, more than like just increasing like pro-sociality toward other students.
This really seems to have had an effect on helping kids in the school be more inclusive about that surprising number of kids who are feeling isolated.
The other effect that we find is that treated students, so the student that whose teacher received this treatment, were 1.5 percentage point less likely to report having no friends in the classroom. This represents a 50% effect relatively to the control group. And treated students also received the significantly more nomination as friends from their classmate, indicating this improved the inclusivity in the classroom, exactly as you are suggesting. So both in terms of antisocial behavior, what I was discussing before, but also in terms of like social networks, we do find this a positive effect of the intervention.
This is really encouraging news. And also, kids, it's never too young to learn how to play economic games.
Yeah, that was very fun to implement with them in grade 3 by the time of the end line.
Okay, Michaela, one question that occurred to me about this is, and it might have occurred to other people when you mentioned when you conducted this intervention, it's right about the time of COVID, and we know that was very disruptive to education and very hard for a lot of kids to deal with. Could this have skewed your results? Could it have increased the feelings and the patterns of feeling isolated and excluded?
So both our treatment and control group were in the same condition. So they were both in the year just after COVID. But what you are spot on is that COVID had an effect on social exclusion, with children potentially from lower socioeconomic background being like more negatively affected by that. However, from evidence we have, it doesn't seem that things are getting much better, even years after COVID. So I strongly believe that this type of intervention could still be beneficial, given the high level of like social exclusion that we see being persistent in schools in Italy and all over the world. I have recent data from Finland with like even higher levels of social exclusion compared to the levels of social exclusion that we identified in the Italian context right after the COVID pandemic.
As you say, paying attention to this is incredibly valuable But what you did here sounds quite labour-intensive to elicit this information from children. And of course, it needs to be done quite carefully as well. Can you scale this up? Can it be cost-effective?
The actual cost of the intervention per child was pretty low. It was around $21 per child in terms of the entire cost of collecting the data, the baseline data, providing these reports to children. Still, this was an intervention implemented and monitored by researchers. So such implementation is potentially impracticable at scale. However, it would be very interesting with further research to test alternative approaches that could include training teachers to independently assess their classroom social network using like simple templates, or we could use even apps that collect this set of information, allowing them to identify social exclusion on their own and being careful about this level of social exclusion and how it evolves over time. So this is like something very interesting that I have in the back of my mind for future research.
Yes, you also did this with quite young kids. What sort of ages are they again?
We collected the network when they were between 7 and 8.
Yeah.
So pretty young children.
Yeah, is that the best age to do this, do you think? Or can it be used for children of any age?
So our theory of change was based on the idea that social exclusion early in life can have detrimental effects later on. And when these effects start to accumulate over time, it may start to lead to negative impact on education, mental health, and other components. So our idea was to try to intervene and act as early as possible in order to try to prevent social exclusion really to have these negative detrimental effects. However, I think it would be interesting to test whether even this type of intervention later in life could have the same effect. My fear is that it gets tougher to shape the social network when this is very solid and when the strong friendship already created in the classroom. Well, earlier in elementary school, there could be still an easier opportunity for teacher to shape social network. So this is why we picked this age group.
Now, the intervention that you have done here has a certain amount of formality about it and measurement. It's very intentional. Could you get anything approaching this result if instead of doing this, you just make teachers more aware of the problems and ask them to look out for it and to intervene?
So that's another great idea. And I believe increasing awareness could be like a first step in that direction. I do not have causal evidence that would tell you whether this would be enough to lead to positive effect on students. So again, I would encourage further research in this direction to understand whether this would be enough to achieve that goal.
I look forward to seeing this further research. Thank you very much for talking about it today, Michaela.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
The paper's called Inclusive Teaching, Spotting Social Isolation in the Classroom. The authors, Shule Allen, Michaela Carlana, and Marinella Leoni. It is discussion paper 19454 at CEPR.
This has been our last Vox Talk of 2024. Thanks to all of our guests this year. Thanks to all of you who have listened and subscribed to Vox Talks. And a special thank you to all of you who rated us 5 stars. When you get some free time during the holidays, why not pick up your phone and check out some of those previous episodes? This week, we've been catching up with all the new research and insight at the CEPR Paris Symposium. So, join us in 2025 to find out what we discovered.